Welcome to the Rethink ELA podcast, hosted by English language arts teacher Michelle Waters. Prepare to receive strategies, products, and expert advice tailored to help teachers build social awareness, student agency, and voice in their ELA classrooms.
Hello, I am Michelle Waters, and I am sitting here on a Saturday morning in the middle of an Oklahoma City library in the children's section, actually, getting to watch some kids run around. I'm here with Jennifer Williams. We're both English teachers in Oklahoma. She has more than 13 years of experience and has had the opportunity to work with a diverse population of students. And so we're going to talk today about how to reach all of our students. And one of the topics that is really near and dear to both of our hearts is the literary canon. And we're both thinking that we need to work on maybe kicking out some of those dead white guys and moving in some people that write literature that is just as good, just as well written, and also will actually speak to a majority of our students. And so we're going to have a break for just a moment, and then I will be back with Jennifer Williams. Thank you.
When it comes to reaching students through literature, finding reliable resources is challenging. Your search is over. Rethink ELA Podcast is here to provide student-tested, research-based strategies, products, and advice. Here's your host, Michelle Waters.
Welcome back to the Rethink ELA Podcast. I'm here with Jennifer Williams, as I mentioned earlier, and we are going to talk about rethinking the literary canon. Are you excited?
I'm super excited, yes.
Me too.
Yeah. Dragged myself out of bed just for you.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. This is such an important topic, though, and for our kids, especially those kids who are struggling. I know you've had a lot of experience with working with those kids in your 13-plus year career.
Yeah. And man, that's a long time.
Yeah. Yes, that is. I have a child that's just a year older than that.
Oh, God. But yes, it is an incredibly important topic because, as I keep saying, I'm not the first person to say it, but as I keep saying, you can either be part of the problem or you can be part of the solution. So, yeah, we need to rethink the canon.
So why is it important that we rethink the literary canon? What's wrong with the classics?
I'm sure a lot of, you know, people of color and marginalized groups are going to go, wow, it's about time somebody finally realizes. We've only been saying this for, you know, decades or centuries. But I was slow to come to this realization. And honestly, the more I teach, the less I have strayed from the canon, because it just doesn't speak to the majority of our students. Yes, we want kids to see experiences that are not their own, but why do those experiences have to mostly be white male experiences? Okay, you know, everyone is already used to white being the status quo. Why do I have to continue teaching that? And at grad school, it was kind of funny. I'm always looking for the roots of problems. And I had an article that one of my professors shared, and man, we had a major discussion over it. But it hit me with this article, just how deep the problem goes. And by us continuing to teach the canon, we are continuing to perpetuate that white ideology, period. We're not trying anything new. And then we keep wondering why we're not closing opportunity gaps, why kids are still marginalized. Well, because we're doing the same thing we've always done.
Exactly. And it's my understanding that the majority of our students now are not white,
yep,
while the majority of our teachers are.
Yes. I think the last statistic I saw was about 80% of our teaching force is white women. And what worries me about that is, you know what, 50-something percent of white women voted for Trump. And yeah, I know. Right after white men, we were the number one voting group for Trump. And so that's problematic. You know, the same man that wants to marginalize our students, we voted for him in waves, and we're the teaching population. That's a huge problem. Huge problem.
So what I'm hearing you say is that the kids are already getting that white perspective. They're,
yes,
getting the dead white men in their classes already, you know, in elementary school, in middle school. So when we get to high school, and maybe even in middle school, it sounds like that would be the opportune time to bring in some voices that they can relate to.
Oh, definitely. And I think even in elementary school, you know, I remember, and I know people are doing better in pockets, but I never knew that Columbus was a horrible person. We just heard that he was so awesome and he discovered, quote unquote, discovered America. And then when I became an adult and finding out what a horrible, horrible person, I felt cheated and I felt lied to. We're doing the same thing with our students. We're continuing to do that in 2018. Yeah.
Or like George Washington and his cherry tree, and that's all you hear, and that's all you know, and the other founding fathers that we think of as being
Jefferson,
these.
Yeah,
and then you find out that they owned slaves, and you're thinking, wait a second, that's not what we're supposed to be about.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, what happened to, you know, freedom and liberty and the pursuit
democracy,
of happiness?
Yes.
Democracy, yes, exactly. So what led you to this? I mean, tell me about your journey from being, you know, the typical, or teaching the typical canon to here.
I think I discussed that a little bit in my article, but I need to go more in depth. But just for sake of time, I mean, even in high school, I questioned some of that because that's just my personality. You know, you put something in front of me, I go, why? Yeah, I'm really fun at parties.
I enjoyed that a lot myself. I used to get paid to ask why when I was a newspaper reporter.
Why? Why are we doing this? I mean, I hated the Scarlet Letter in high school because I thought, why? You know, sure, some of the language is beautiful, but my God, shut up, Hawthorne. I mean, how many different ways can you describe things? And, you know, Romeo and Juliet, there just were pieces that I hated in high school. And I came to teaching kind of late. And so I think that may have helped a little bit because I was already an adult and I was already thinking through some of this. And my first 2 years, I worked with alternative students. And I thought, yeah, we did Othello. We did great. But I was able to do a lot of different things. And then my year and a half or 2 years, I did night school and summer school. I could experiment. So, man, I ran with that. And I think when you've got that kind of freedom your first couple of years, that's probably what started me on the journey. Then I got on Twitter several years ago and started following people who, you know, didn't look like me. And some of them made me angry, and I quit following them. And then when I realized why I was angry, I refollowed them again and started listening. And they were saying the things that, you know, marginalized groups have said for decades, and I finally shut up and listened. And when I did that, I thought about the immeasurable harm I had unintentionally probably done my students with my good intentions. You know, that common knowledge. Well, it's so much fun for all of us to read Gatsby. It's so much fun for all of us to read Romeo and Juliet and Julius Caesar. We've got this common heritage. But that common heritage is white. And that's a huge, huge issue. We're a diverse population. Why can't our common heritage be pulled from our diverse voices? You know, why does it have to just be one voice? Because I'm sorry, white people are minority. Why do they still have to be the loud ones? Why can't I have LGBT students speaking? Why can't I have black students? Why can't I have, you know, my brown students, my East Asian students? Why can't I have all of them coming together and forming our common knowledge? So that's a little bit of my journey.
So what does teaching modern literature, representing all of those voices, look like in your classroom?
Depending on the district, you know, you're going to have more freedom or less freedom. I just finished up a couple years at a district where you couldn't make any changes to the anchor pieces without, you know, a whole lot of talking and a whole lot of, you know, getting permission. And so I tried to work in more of the short pieces because those I didn't have to get permission on. And so we did a lot of that. And then honestly, I've been focusing on a lot of writing and developing my student voices. So I've sacrificed some of the literature, jettisoned some of it. But normally, I mean, there's nothing wrong with working in more young adult literature. Classics were written for educated adults. They were not written for teenagers. So there's nothing wrong with it.
Absolutely. And as a teacher, my journey's been somewhat similar in that I realized that the classics that I didn't really enjoy in high school, but read because, you know, that's what you did, weren't what I wanted to teach, and the kids weren't connecting with them. They were bored. I mean, some of the kids read and said, oh, I love this, but yeah, right.
Yeah.
And then other kids said, I'm just not going to do this. And I thought, we need something that will speak to them, that they can identify with, and that they can learn from. For me, I felt like I needed maybe some outside permission. I'm a rule follower. You don't sound like you're a rule follower.
Never.
Some of my favorite people are not rule followers. And so sometimes I need somebody outside to say, hey, you can do this. You can ditch Gatsby, which I taught it this semester. So
it's
sorry,
okay,
children.
Baby. It's okay. I taught it last year. It's all right.
Okay. We're okay.
It was one of those pieces where we couldn't get it off the books, so I taught it.
On the plus side, I will be teaching The Hate U Give by Angie Thomas. So maybe that will make up for the Gatsby I subjected them to. We shall see. You talked about some shorter pieces. Can you share some examples of those pieces that maybe some teachers could start out with?
Off the top of my head, I got to think about that. But I have been working in more TED Talks. I love those. Love TED Talks.
Me too. I've got a few on my website, as a matter of fact.
And I've been trying to, I tend to fall down the YouTube rabbit hole if I'm on there for very long, but I've been trying to work in more like slam poetry that you can find on YouTube. My kids are loving that. Even advanced placement, alternative, traditional, it doesn't matter. They're really loving that. And if you're teaching advanced placement, you think, oh, God, I've still got to do the dead white guys because of the AP test. You really don't. Hit me up, and I will help you. But trying to work in some more short stories that are not just the dead white guys. And again, off the top of my head, I'd have to sit down and look at my reading list. It still is a work in progress, I will be honest. But knowing... like you said, giving yourself permission to get rid of that has just opened up a world for me. But we did a donor's choose and got some young adult books. And a couple of the things we got were Out of Darkness by Ashley Hope Perez. Whew, read that one first. That one will rip your guts out. It is a rough, rough piece, but God, it's amazing. We did get Unwind, which is also amazing. Stuck in Neutral, Speak, which I love Speak. I know it's about a white girl, but I think with sexual harassment being such a big topic right now, that it's a great book to
and
teach.
It's particularly great for young women to read and to either identify with or recognize, hey, this could happen to me. Mm-hmm. This may have happened to some of my friends.
Yep.
This is, and for the young men too, to realize, oh wow, that's something, that's a thing, and I need to not do that.
Exactly. So I did, with our donors choose, I mostly focused on young adults. Some of my other teachers picked a couple of the classics, and that was fine. But yeah, I mostly pulled in young adult novels so that we would have some of those as options. You know, why not? You've got the freedom. You might as well do it.
Absolutely. And I've been lucky in that I'm at a smaller school, and I've been given a lot of the freedom that you're talking about. And as part of my process, I have, you know, scoured the web and found those TED Talks and found the slam poetry, and actually put it together in a unit that I had you test out in class, a social justice writing project. And you had mentioned a minute ago about focusing on the writing and having the kids basically producing their own literature.
Yes.
And I think that unit also helps them see diverse voices, but also work on their own voice. Is that what you experienced when you used that?
I think so, because it was great. Some of the kids had said that they did not realize that racism still existed. And I work in a school right now that's predominantly students of color, but some of them had just not, I guess, realized the depth. And so it was good to allow them to talk through their experiences. And, you know, they did it through writing. My school's a little bit different, but I was able to talk with some of them one-on-one. So that was really good. And the one piece in there that the young man wrote, I think that was their favorite piece. They really liked that first slam poetry, and then they really liked that piece that the student of yours wrote. And the kids were like, first they said, this is really long, and I said, guys, I had to copy and paste it, it's fine. And they zipped through it, and they were talking to each other about it. Hey, you should read that piece, it's really good. So yeah, having a student talk about his experience with racism, that's what my kids connected with more than anything else.
Absolutely. And I'm really hoping that former student of mine's piece will encourage other kids like him to write, to realize, hey, I can write. If this kid can write, so can I.
Yep.
And that they have a story to tell, and that that story is important, and that there are people out there that want to hear that and that need to hear that.
Well, and then giving them the freedom to not just have to write a 5-paragraph essay, to just, you know, get on a piece of paper or a document and just rant and let it out. You know, you clean it up later. But just having that freedom has also been amazing in my classroom.
Absolutely. So what advice would you give to other teachers considering making this transformation in their classroom?
Oh, wow. Do a lot of reading, white teachers. Listen to other people. Just because you don't experience life in a certain way does not mean that that's just the way life is. We all come from different perspectives. And whether you like it or not, society is set up differently for different people. Depending on your gender, your sexual orientation, your race, it's set up that way. So you need to find people who are willing to share their experiences and shut up and listen.
And it's even true of class as well. Yes. People who are wealthy are going to have a different experience from those of us that are not. And that kind of comes back to that concept of intersectionality.
Yes.
You could talk about that for just a moment.
Yeah, that was one that I was so funny. The first time I came across the term, I was like, duh, why did I not realize this? Yes. If you experience oppression in one area, you probably experience oppression in another area. So yes, if you're a woman, but then if you're a woman of color, there's two areas of oppression. Then if you also are maybe, you know, lesbian or something, there's another area of oppression. So that intersectionality is, you're not just experiencing oppression in one area, you may be experiencing it in a lot of different areas. And that's why our kids need voices.
Absolutely. And I know that I have a lot of kids who are not wealthy. And they experience oppression in that area. They need to understand, too, that, you know, maybe the women in their lives are experiencing a different kind of oppression.
Definitely.
And the people of color are experiencing a different kind of oppression.
Definitely.
And there are different levels and different ways that those intersect with one another. And so,
yes,
you know, maybe everybody's experiencing some kind of oppression, but it's going to be different based on what kind of oppression that's being experienced. You know, I, as a white woman, am going to be experiencing something different than a black man would experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are some commonalities, but there are also some major differences, and we need to listen to one another. I think that's the key that you mentioned, is we have got to shut up and listen to other people.
Yeah, I agree. And that's when I began learning, is realizing that I knew nothing. And I think realizing that, yeah, I know my own experience, but, you know, unless I learn from other people, unless I listen to them, unless I read their experiences and give them a chance, I know nothing. And 7 billion plus people in the world, there can't just be one experience. It's not possible.
Absolutely. So what would be one tip, you know, one or two tips of practical application that you want teachers to take away from this?
You know, I'm a person that would like to just drop a bomb and then start fresh, but I know that's scary for a lot of people. You know, I am okay with, hey, let's level it and let's build on the ashes, you know. I'm one of those people. But there's nothing wrong with at least taking baby steps, and talk it over with your PLC, talk it over with your curriculum director, talk it over with your district and see, hey, can we drop one of our anchor pieces this year? Let's try dropping Julius Caesar, because dear God, that is such a painful piece to read. I mean, I love Mark Antony's speech, but it's painful. Can we drop something, you know, at each grade level and work in something else? And that may be something where you guys sit down in the summertime and, you know, have a document on Google Docs that you share and you guys do some work. But it's okay to take baby steps as long as you're stepping forward. Yeah, it's okay.
Excellent advice. Thank you. Those of you who are listening, if you want to read more of what Jennifer has to say, the links to the articles that she has written for Rethink ELA will be in the show notes for this episode. So thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Encourage your high school students to share their stories, discuss building a representative society, and develop their writing skills. With this set of 15 highly engaging lesson plans, you can mix and match to meet your students' needs. Download this unit at rethinkela.com/SJWP.